Hello, everybody. I'm Warren Smith, coming to you this week from the True Charity Conference taking place in Springfield, Missouri.
And I'm Natasha Cowden in Denver, Colorado, and we'd like to welcome you to the Ministry Watch podcast.
On today's program, North Carolina pastor Bruce Frank is joining the crowded Southern Baptist Convention presidential race. Frank was the former leader of the SBC's abuse task force. We'll have some details. And Bishop T.D. Jakes is mentioned in a lawsuit against music mogul Sean Diddy Combs, though the lawsuit does not accuse the bishop of any wrongdoing. We'll take a look. And another Christian college is closing its doors.
But first, North Carolina's Pursuit Church announced this week that it fired its lead pastor over sexual misconduct.
Pursuit Church is in Denver, North Carolina. It's a suburb of Charlotte. And it posted on its Instagram profile on Monday that it is with heavy hearts that we announce the following news, effective immediately, and that immediately was April 1st, Jordan Green has been terminated from Pursuit Church. The post also linked to an open letter on its website with more information of the lead pastor's termination. It read in part, "We want to be clear. Jordan Green committed acts of sexual misconduct, which has deeply wounded his victims, the people who call Pursuit Church home, and this leadership team."
Did Green admit his guilt?
Well, according to the letter, Green confessed his version of sexual misconduct in a series of private disclosures to leaders and staff over the course of 3 days before Easter Sunday. The church calls the confession no confession at all and accuses Green of controlling the narrative with partial truths and manipulated events. But over the series of confessions, it says, the truth began to emerge.
And the church heard testimonies from its congregants.
That's right. Again, reading from the statement, "One by one, brave souls began to share their personal stories of how Jordan had harmed them during their employment at Pursuit Church. After more than an hour of raw testimony from his victims, your staff, and your family, Jordan was dismissed from the room and our staff." Pursuit's executive pastor, John Doggett, told Ministry Watch that its leaders have no intention of speaking with the news media as the church family navigates a difficult time of grieving for the victims, for the church body, as well as Green and his family.
Our next story announces a new runner in the SBC presidential race.
Bruce Frank is his name. He's the longtime pastor of Biltmore Church in Asheville, North Carolina. He announced on Tuesday, April 2nd, that he would allow his name to be placed in nomination for the SBC's annual meeting this summer in Indianapolis. He said that as president, he would focus on evangelism, abuse reform, and revitalizing churches.
And there are already a number of candidates running for president.
That's right. He'll join fellow North Carolinian Clint Presley, Oklahoma pastor Mike Keabone, Tennessee pastor Jared Moore, and seminary professor David Allen as candidates. Those four candidates recently took part in an online forum where much of the conversation revolved around the denomination's finances, abuse reform, and a proposed amendment that would limit any pastoral title within the SBC to men only.
Now, how do these candidates think of the need for abuse reforms?
During the recent presidential forum, the candidate said that abuse was a serious problem for the SBC, but Moore and Allen said that abuse was not a crisis or systemic within the denomination. Keabone, who serves on the Abuse Implementation Task Force, said it was a crisis. And Clint Presley said that the abuse was indeed a crisis, but that the response to the crisis has caused some fog and confusion. With that fog clearing up a little bit, we are seeing this is not a system-wide crisis, he said. It is a crisis, but it's not showing up in every church. However, every church needs to be prepared, and every church needs to react. Now, there is a lot more detail to this story that we can't get into here, but if you're interested about the candidates and their perspective, you can find the full story at ministrywatch.com.
Now, Warren, what's our next story?
You've probably heard that former President Donald Trump has been promoting the new God Bless the USA Bible. Trump said in a video post posted on Truth Social last Tuesday that religion and Christianity are the two biggest things missing from this country, and all Americans need a Bible in their home. He was flanked by American flags, and he held up a leather-bound Bible. He smiled, "I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible."
Now, that sales pitch generated a lot of controversy.
It did. So we asked our reporter, Bethany Starin, to look into some of the details, and she found out that the Bible, which is priced at $59.99, was created in partnership with Trump's longtime friend, Lee Greenwood. A lot of folks know Lee Greenwood as the singer of the 1984 hit song, God Bless the USA. The song has traditionally been played at Trump events and rallies as he enters the stage. Now, it combines the King James Version of the Bible with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and a handwritten copy of Lee Greenwood's lyrics.
I'm a seminary student, so excuse my little nerdy moment here, but out of curiosity, why did they choose to use the King James Version?
Well, they didn't initially choose that version. Initially, they planned to use the New International Version of the Bible, but Zondervan, who holds the copyright for that, refused to license the NIV version, and they had to use the King James Version instead because the KJV is in the public domain, which means you can use it freely without copyright entanglements.
Now, where will the money go when someone purchases this Bible?
The God Bless the USA Bible website says that the funds will not go to Trump's political campaign, but does not comment on whether or not the funds go to any legal fees. We should be clear that Trump did license the use of his image and his endorsement, which makes it likely that he is indeed financially benefiting from it in some way.
Now, I'm sure there must be a lot of perspectives on this announcement. What are some that Bethany learned about in her reporting?
Andrew Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions, and he wrote an article that said this: President Donald J. Trump lacks all the authority and sincerity to stand up and advertise a Bible for $59.99. Really, no one does. Leave the Bible alone, he said. He continued to say this: to put matters bluntly, the Bible like this should never have been made. That is not because I'm anti-Bible or anti-Constitution. Actually, I'm very much in favor of both. But fusing the two in the name of religious civic identity can quickly become a form of identity politics.
And this is not Trump's first commercial campaign.
No, it's not. Recently, Trump launched a pair of sneakers. He did that back in February, the Never Surrender high-top sneaker, and it sold out in a matter of hours. They're currently available for pre-order for $399, along with the Red Wave and POTUS 45 sneakers. Those go for $199 a pair. He also has $99 bottles of Victory 47, perfume, and cologne.
Well, let's look at one more story before we take a break. What do you have?
A minister associated with Chi Alpha, the campus ministry of the Assemblies of God in Corpus Christi, Texas, has received 10 years probation for his sexual abuse of an underage family member, according to KRIS-TV. On March 22nd, Robinson accepted a plea agreement for 10 years of deferred adjudication after pleading guilty to one count of continuous sexual abuse of a child under the age of 14, one count of sexual assault of a child, and three counts of indecency with a child. The indictment said that Robinson began his alleged abuse of that child in 2015 when she was just 9 years old and continued until 2022 when he was arrested.
And two others associated with Chi Alpha Ministries have been indicted for sexual acts related to children.
Yeah, that's right, Natasha. We've been covering this story pretty extensively over the last couple of years, or year, I would say. In September of 2023, former Baylor University campus minister Chris Hundle and his mentor Daniel Savala were both indicted by a McClellan County, Texas grand jury for indecency with a child and trafficking of persons. Savala has a court date set for April 29th and bonds that total $465,500.
Warren, let's take a quick break. When we return, a former Iranian revolutionary who, as a devout Muslim teenager, sought out churches to burn down, is now ministering to Americans and Iranians alike in U.S. churches. I'm Natasha Cowden, along with co-host Warren Smith. We'll have that story and much more after this short break.
Hey, everybody. Warren Smith interrupting the podcast for a very special message. You know, a couple of years ago, I met a man named John Adink, who I was really impressed with because he was very generous and very knowledgeable about foreign missions. He had a heart for missions, a heart for reaching unreached people groups, and he had the ability to give significant sums of money to missions organizations. But after doing that for several years, he had something of an epiphany and realized that a lot of the money that he was given was being wasted. And he wrote a book about that experience called How I Lost $1.5 million in Missions. You know, if you're a donor to a foreign missions organization, maybe you support a missionary, maybe you're a ministry leader of a missions organization, or perhaps a pastor, elder, or deacon that supports missionaries through your church, you really should read this book. We'll send it to you absolutely free as our thank you for a gift of any size to Ministry Watch this month. Just go to ministrywatch.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page.
Welcome back. I'm Natasha Cowden, along with my co-host Warren Smith, and you're listening to the Ministry Watch podcast. Well, our next story is a remarkable one of an Iranian revolutionary turned Christian minister.
As a young man and as an eager Muslim, Mansour Khajapour wanted to do his part to aid the revolution. He decided that he would burn down a church. As he made his plans, he visited a nearby Presbyterian church where he was greeted, given a free New Testament, and invited to come back with questions on Sunday. Khajapour read the Bible cover to cover in just a matter of 3 days, and then he returned to the church on Sunday and knew he could help the Christians understand that their scriptures were corrupt. But the pastor answered him patiently every Sunday for 3 months.
So what made him believe in the gospel?
Well, he said it was the hospitality shown by three French ladies, sisters from the Roman Catholic Church who came to worship with the Presbyterians because their priest had died. They would bring him tea, plates, and pastries each week and serve them with smiles. Their hospitality was countercultural. Elder serving the young, a foreigner serving locals, and Khajapour said he couldn't believe it. It wasn't logic or argument that the Holy Spirit used, he said. It was hospitality.
Well, I know that there's a lot to this story, but how did he become a pastor in the States?
Well, after being kicked out of his home, he was arrested several times for proselytizing. He and his wife and daughter fled Iran and became refugees in Greece. The United Nations Refugee Agency sent them to the United States.
And it wasn't long before he began to get calls to help with Iranian churches in Maryland and California and even Washington.
He planted churches for Farsi-speaking refugees and served as a missionary in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian denomination, engaging in even in a television ministry to Farsi-speaking people. He established a ministry called Persian Crossroads in 2016. Khajapour also coordinates a daily 60-minute program on Instagram TV that offers to pray for Muslims and their needs. Hundreds of people watch the program, and he claims that many have come to faith.
Let's move to our next story, this one involving Bishop T.D. Jakes.
According to a lawsuit filed against music artist Sean Diddy Combs by his former producer, Combs planned to leverage his relationship with T.D. Jakes to soften the impact of a lawsuit by Combs' former girlfriend. The lawsuit was filed in February in New York by Rodney, who goes by Lil Rod, Jones. He seeks $30 million in damages, according to a report by the church leader. Questions about Jakes' relationship with Combs have been raised again, given the New York lawsuit and the raid on Combs' homes in Florida and California by federal agents as part of a sex trafficking investigation.
And a video of Jakes at a party for Combs' 53rd birthday in Los Angeles emerged in 2022, which raised concerns about the pastor's presence there.
It did, but Derek Williams, who is the executive director of the T.D. Jakes Entertainment Group, told the Christian Post that Bishop Jakes was acting in his role as the CEO of T.D. Jakes Entertainment, and he was paying respects to the former chairman of Revolt during that celebration of his birthday. Derek Williams said this: Bishop Jakes was in Los Angeles for important business meetings, and we felt that a quick appearance at the birthday event was the respectful thing to do since Bishop Jakes' sermons are being aired on the Revolt Network. Combs owns the Revolt Network. We both greeted the family. Bishop Jakes recorded a brief celebratory birthday video and then left immediately to take our other scheduled meetings. Any accusation to the contrary is wholly unsubstantiated, unverified, and false, according to Williams.
In our next story, another school has closed following abuse claims.
On March the 6th, ABM Ministries Lighthouse Christian Academy, which is in Piedmont, Missouri, told the Missouri Department of Social Services that it was officially closed. The action comes on the heels of the school owner's arrest and as a state agency investigates whether the boarding school effectively addressed calls to an abuse hotline about the facility in the past. Lighthouse was a private Christian boarding school dedicated to helping troubled boys, but a few days before its closing, authorities charged ABM Ministries owners Larry and Carmen Musgraves with first-degree kidnapping for allegedly locking students in a room.
Now, the complaints and the charges are not the first abuse and neglect concerns for the state.
No, there have been a number here in Missouri. Lighthouse is one of four unregistered boarding schools in Missouri that has faced child abuse accusations and have since ceased operations. Numerous accusations of sexual, physical, and mental abuse against children enrolled in unregistered boarding schools are still pending in the Missouri courts, exposing what critics are calling a pattern of unchecked abusive leadership culture there.
Well, our next story moves us down to Texas.
Last week, a Houston man claiming to be a bishop was sentenced to 3 years in prison for bigamy charges. These new charges came just 2 months after Orlando Coleman, who's 51 years of age, received probation for a similar offense. But in the state of Texas, bigamy, or being married to more than one person at a time, is a third-degree felony. Prosecutors believe that Coleman has been married to at least 10 different women over the past 20 years. They found no evidence that he was ever a member of the clergy.
So how did he do that?
Well, he would travel to small black churches around the country claiming to be either a pastor or a bishop. He would meet women at these different churches and then propose marriage to them. According to the New York Times, once a woman accepted the proposal, he would move in with her and she would pay for his housing, food, and other bills. Prosecutors believe that Coleman has been running his marriage con for more than 20 years, but he's only recently been caught.
Well, we're going to take another break. When we return, our lightning round of ministry news of the week. I'm Natasha Cowden with my co-host Warren Smith. More in a moment.
Hey, everybody. Warren Smith interrupting the podcast one more time just to remind you that this month, the month of April, we are giving away a book called How I Lost $1.5 million in missions by John Adink. It's a book that I think everyone who has a heart for missions work should read. I think it'll help you become a more effective steward of the resources that God has entrusted to you, especially if you want to divert some of those resources to missions organizations. We'll send this book to you absolutely free as our thank you for a gift of any size to Ministry Watch during the month of April. Just go to ministrywatch.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page.
Welcome back. I'm Natasha Cowden along with my co-host Warren Smith, and you're listening to the Ministry Watch podcast. Now, we like to use this last segment as a sort of lightning round of shorter news briefs. What's up first?
Birmingham Southern College in Birmingham, Alabama will close its doors for good on May 31st, leaving a legacy of more than 100 years as an educational cornerstone in that city. The decision came on the heels of an 18-month financial battle at Birmingham Southern. Last year, legislators passed a bill allowing the state treasurer to loan $30 million to colleges in emergency financial situations. And a loan to Birmingham Southern College was considered pretty much guaranteed until state treasurer Young Boozer declined it. That according to the Alabama Reflector newspaper. Birmingham Southern said in a statement that it's working on arrangements to maximize credit transfers for its students. The school is also working with a small group of seniors planning to graduate in the summer of 2024 to help them finish their degrees.
What's next?
Well, the Secretary General of the World Evangelical Alliance, Dr. Thomas Schirmacher, has resigned as of March 31st due to health reasons. Schirmacher took the helm as CEO and Secretary General of the World Evangelical Alliance in February of 2021. His work with the WEA spanned over three decades, including his service as chairman of the Alliance's Theological Commission and as Associate Secretary General for Theological Concerns. Dr. Goodwill Shana was named interim executive chair to oversee the current team of two deputy secretaries general for a term not to exceed 6 months. Now, the mission of the World Evangelical Alliance is fostering unity in Christ, strengthening identity, voice, and platform for gospel witness and discipleship.
Who's in our ministry spotlight this week?
This week, we've focused on Frontiers USA, and the reason we've done that is because it has joined a growing list of ministries that has petitioned the IRS to be classified as an association of churches. As a result of this association of churches reclassification, Frontiers USA has not released its Form 990 since 2020, and that caused its Ministry Watch transparency grade to fall from an A to a C, and its donor confidence score to fall from a very high score of 95 down to 62, which means that you should give, but with caution. Frontiers works to share the gospel with unreached Muslim populations around the world. Its website states that our global priorities focus on the peoples and places with the least access to the gospel. To this end, we work to recruit, train, and send teams of workers to live in Muslim communities and bring Christ's message to those who have yet to hear it. The U.S. arm of the organization is based in Arizona, but it has over 25 international offices around the world. According to its 2023 annual report, the organization had a revenue of over $41 million, and it has over $25 million in net assets. Frontiers USA did not respond to Ministry Watch's multiple attempts to request more information about why its financial statements are in the U.S. are separate from the international arm of the organization.
Who did Christina highlight in Ministries Making a Difference?
A Zimbabwean pastor and theologian serving with Cure International, a hospital for children with disabilities, is working to shift the mindset about disabilities in the church by hosting a Theology of Disability seminar for local pastors, creating a welcoming space for people with disabilities. The seminar uses examples of Jesus' ministry to dispel myths that are common among Christians. For example, that people with disabilities have evil spirits. Prison Fellowship International and Eastern European Mission are partnering to give out more than 100,000 Bibles and Christian resources to seven Prison Fellowship International affiliates across Eastern Europe. The 71,000 adult, 8,500 teens, and 34,500 child-friendly Bibles will be given to prisoners and their families over the next few years. Now, I should mention that Eastern European Mission has low scores from Ministry Watch. They get 0 stars for financial efficiency and a C transparency grade and a donor confidence score of just 33. Prison Fellowship, of course, does a bit better. It has an A transparency grade and a donor confidence score of 80.
Warren, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Well, as I mentioned at the top of the program, I'm in Springfield, Missouri at the True Charity Conference. Look for some stories and interviews as a result of this event and my trip here in the weeks ahead. It's a pretty remarkable group, and I've been really impressed with what I've seen here. I also want to remind everyone that we're offering an important new book this month to anyone who donates to Ministry Watch during the month of April. It's called How I Lost $1.5 Million in Missions, and it's by a man named John Adick. If you're a donor to missions organizations, a ministry leader of a missions organization, or maybe a missions committee in your church, maybe you're a pastor who supports missionaries, you should read this book. We'll send it to you absolutely free as our thank you for a gift of any size to Ministry Watch this month. Just go to ministrywatch.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page.
The producers for today's program are Rich Rosl and Jeff McIntosh. We get database and other technical support from Stephen DeBerry, Rod Pitzer, and Casey Suddeth. Writers who contributed to today's program include Jessica Ederalde, Bob Smetania, Bethany Starin, Kim Roberts, Brittany Smith, and Christina Darnell. And you've been listening to the Ministry Watch podcast. Until next time, may God bless you.